Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is the U105 phone-in. Here's a disappointing story for you, because we do fancy Belfast, don't we? We like to think that this city that a lot of us live in, or a lot of us go to, or a lot of us work in, is as vibrant as can be, even though I have to put my hand up and admit at times it can be a dirty wee hole and it needs to be improved from that capacity. But now, unfortunately, some of the great entertainers across the UK have come together, not famous names, but people who provide, I suppose, resource to the entertainment industry, and particularly the casinos and the nightlife and all of that across the UK. Of course, casinos, we don't have them here. But having said all of that, those who keep a watchful eye on cities across the United Kingdom reckon that Belfast is not really one of the go-to places for a night out. So a bit offended, I'm sure some of you will be, to hear that it's actually one of the worst cities in the UK for a night out. Let me speak to one of our councillors, Seamus DeFeta from the SDLP. Seamus, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Might we take some consolation from this, that the survey is driven by the casino industry, and if we don't have casinos, they'll think we're in the dark ages?
Well, look, I think people can draw whatever inference they want from that. I'm of the view that we actually have all of the right raw resources in our favour in terms of actually developing a kind of strong and healthy nighttime economy, not least the fact that we have such a young and vibrant population in the city, and that we have been a kind of cultural core for so many years. And I think people are starting to, post-pandemic and post, or certainly as some pressures around cost of living start to ease for people, that we're seeing people kind of vote with their feet. So we're seeing people return to Belfast City Centre. All of the data and indicators in terms of footfall would indicate that visits to the city core are up. And I know you mentioned about, the place feeling kind of dirty or grubby, but there are other indications in terms of Belfast City Council's kind of satisfaction surveys are that more and more people are actually of the view that the city is cleaner than it was. So there's
seriously, Seamus, seriously, research has been done recently that suggests Belfast is cleaner than it was when. Goodness gracious. I don't want to be flippant, because I work in Belfast. I depend on Belfast to be a success. Mm-hmm. I've worked all my life in Belfast. I came to live in Belfast the best part of 35 years ago. I owe a debt of gratitude to Belfast. So I'm coming from that perspective. But it's dirty. It's very dirty. It's very run down. And you'd be ashamed to walk somebody through Belfast and say, this is my home city.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference, though, Frank, between street cleanliness and dereliction. And dereliction is a real problem.
Yeah, but Seamus, visitors don't think that. They don't think, oh my goodness, there's no chewing gum on the bit of that pavement there, but the building's falling down. They just see the place as dilapidated.
And again, I think a significant part of the issue is in relation to dereliction and the fact that we have parts of our city core that have been left to rot. And I've spoken quite extensively about this. The SDLP were the only party in Belfast City Council to recently propose new measures around removing loopholes in the rate system, so that developers that sit and squat on land for long periods of time would actually be penalised for doing so, to try and adopt a stick as well as a carrot approach to development within the city. And I do think there is a significant issue around the kind of blurring of the lines between issues around dereliction and dilapidation and actual street cleanliness. And there's no doubt about it, the council is not getting everything 100% right or perfect, but there have been improvements made. There are additional street cleansing teams that have been hired and put in place over the last year. There's been new power washers purchased that are being used in different parts of the city core. And the response in terms of the kind of satisfaction ratings that the council is seeing around cleanliness issues are improving as a result. That is a process. It's never going to be an exact moment of time that people decide the city is either clean or unclean. And there's a lot of effort has to go in on a daily basis to keep that correct and keep that right.
Where are we at the moment? I'll accept that you've spent additional money on that. And the guys and girls who are actually on the streets doing their best to keep it clean do a very good job. I'm not knocking those individuals at all. I'm more readily speaking about those of us who use the city, throwing litter, spitting chewing gum, flicking cigarette butts, or discarding syringes, or doing whatever they do to make the place look less than appealing. But what about the alleys and all of that? Because we still see the overflowing bins, we still see the dumped carpets, we still see the lack of pride in the city from people who either live here or who chose to come here. There's a lot of filth, Seamus.
Yeah, and again, frustratingly on that one, the SDLP, along with a number of other parties, proposed and supported an increase in the fines for littering and illegal dumping in the city. And that proposal was blocked by Sinn Féin and the DUP last year because, you know, the overall proposal was around, as I said, littering, illegal dumping, but also dog-fouling fines. We proposed putting them up to the legal maximum, which is £200. And as I said, the two big parties combined to block that. I think there's plenty of efforts going on in terms of trying to promote and develop civic pride and to get people to take pride in their local communities. And, you know, I've been involved in some of those in my own area in terms of cleanups and different operations like that on the ground. But like everything, you know, there has to be a carrot and stick approach to this. And that means that we have to have, I think, strong penalties for people who don't take that kind of level of civic pride and do engage in littering and illegal dumping.
And so we could argue all day and all night as to whether or not the city is appealing to walk round. At this moment in time, I think we're below the bar. I'm not for a moment suggesting that effort isn't being made to get us above the bar. As for the nightlife, people complain all the time about the price of product in the restaurants and in the pubs and clubs, and I've had Colin Eden Hospitality Ulster on many a time explaining why it's so expensive, because he linked it to the rates and all of that are very, very expensive, and you have to turn quite a few pounds before you make a profit on what you're selling. So it's a challenge for the person who is running the pub or the club. There's also the difficulty with taxis. Taxis generally are hard to get in Belfast. We have a bus service which, when it's running, is fine. I use it myself. But when it's not running, it's not there. And it isn't running late enough for Belfast to be a vibrant nightlife city, especially when young people now have caught the bug of partying at home, which they caught that during COVID, probably in the final throes of COVID. And now they realise it's much cheaper to have a party in an Airbnb.
Well, I think everybody through from the business sector to you know, trade union organisations and representatives of workers in the hospitality sector, everybody will all agree that there's an imperative need to get a proper nighttime transport situation in place. I wrote to the new minister for infrastructure whenever he came into office, asking him to prioritise developing a nighttime bus service within Belfast. We don't expect that in the grand scheme of things it would cost a huge amount of money. It is a massive economic enabler, and you know, would give people the opportunity to come in to the city centre at night to have a meal, to go to a show, to go for a drink, and not having to be rushing at 11 o'clock to get the last bus home. Unfortunately, the minister declined. Now, we have a new budget in place. I will be writing to the minister again, restating the case for investing in a nighttime bus service. We've had over 1,000 people have signed an SDLP petition calling for the same. It is probably the single biggest enabler that we could enact pretty quickly. And Translink has worked with their staff and different partners within the entertainment sector to make sure that it's something they could deliver if the resource was there. So I think it could be stepped up pretty quickly. But ultimately, the minister needs to take leadership on this and decide that actually delivering this type of service is a priority. In the same way that, you know, when the SDLP were last in government, we took initiative around providing free and discounted travel services to key workers during the pandemic. You have to rise to the moment, and you know, I think our nighttime economy desperately needs people to rise to the moment at this particular time.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I suppose it's easy for the SDLP now in opposition to point the finger, but and we notice you've done that a few times, Seamus. Having said that, I think it's plague on all your houses at this moment in time in relation to the state of the city. And let's hope that you're trying your best to move in the right direction to give Belfast back the buzz and the vibrance that they did, that we did discover post-Troubles. Belfast was buzzing about pre-COVID, it was buzzing. I just feel it's never come back from COVID. And part of that is down to pricing. It's partly down to the lack of public transport and the desire for young people to party elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But Newcastle, another city that I know very well, came second in this survey. A great city to be out in, very similar to Belfast, and that blooming place is absolutely throbbing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, I think that there are efforts and improvements being made, and like I said, I don't think we're in a position to declare anything as being perfect. I was out in Belfast myself on Saturday evening. I was in the reporter for a couple of pints. I have to say, I haven't seen as many hen parties around the city as I have on Saturday night. The place seemed very, very busy, and that was a really positive thing to see. But I mean, ultimately, there are improvements to be made. And like I said, I think we have a lot of the good, right raw materials, but it requires investment. It requires concerted effort. I brought a motion a number of years ago suggesting or proposing that we move forward with the appointment of a nighttime czar to lead on all of this work. I'm chairing a nighttime task force meeting with Belfast City Council and a number of other different agencies this Friday, to look at how we continue to take some of that work forward. And we've engaged really heavily with the likes of Amy Lamy, who's the Night Czar in London, Carly Heath, who's the Night Czar for Bristol, people who are experts in this field, to see what more Belfast can be doing to promote and sustain the nighttime economy. So I don't think anything is in any way or shape perfect, but I'm not bought into being a naysayer about this, because I think we have all the right raw materials. We just need to focus our efforts a wee bit more.
Okay, Seamus, I really appreciate your time, and let's hope it does go from strength to strength, the city. Belfast Live actually has been writing about this, and they highlighted the survey, and they've covered all the issues that I've covered there with Seamus. And then they have an article within the article that talks about the charm of Belfast. And this is really positive, so let's give it a bit of positivity. There's just something about the nightlife in Belfast that makes it a city like no other. Whether it's the colourful characters you meet along the way, the unique pubs nestled into entries and alleyways, the beauty of the city itself, if you need a trip away, Belfast is always on your doorstep. Our incredible live music offering, from the Dirty Onion to Madden's Bar to Revolution to Cuba, nothing beats sipping drinks and tapping your feet on a night out. Whether it be to a full band, a chilled out one piece or a traditional music session, Belfast has some serious talent that plays across its bars and makes the the atmosphere even more electric, with local venues such as the Limelight and Voodoo putting on some seriously impressive gigs. We are shocked that Belfast was ranked so badly in this survey. Clubs to show off those killer dance moves. It's if dancing is in your heart and dancing is in your feet and you can't take it anymore, well, you definitely have plenty of choice at Belfast's nightclubs, whether you can take it or not. Institutions like Thompson's and the Limelight have weekly club nights with something to suit everyone, while the likes of the Telegraph Building puts on unmissable rave events. There are now even strictly over 30s clubs. The ones, you know, the ones that I thought wouldn't work, they're working. Over 30s nights for you, indeed, to avoid students while you're still enjoying the nightlife experience. And then they go on to say the post-night out takeaway, arguably for some, the best part of a night out. You may have been planning to get on the pizza slice, you've started to get ready, the old pizza slices, or you just happen to stumble across an open takeaway on your way home. But food has always indeed been one of the attractions. I'm subbing that to some extent, but Seamus, you have to say that's a darn good effort from Belfast Live to sow the seeds of positivity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things you've just touched upon there, which demonstrates that there is an appetite for, you know, nightlife and the nighttime economy in the city, is that over 30s evening, I say evening because I'm not 100% sure it can be justified as being totally nighttime, but I think, it demonstrates the appetite for this type of activity within the city, and that to me shows that, you know, really the only way is up in terms of the provision of entertainment and arts and culture within Belfast. But it does require that bit of effort and coordination, and that's why I'm of the view we need someone leading on that from a Belfast City Council perspective.
Okay.
Someone like a Night Czar who can bring all of the stakeholders together, and particularly all of the statutory agencies together, to make it happen.
Okay. Seamus DeFeta from the SDLP, one of the local councillors, thank you very much. Who do you reckon would be the ideal Night Czar in Belfast? I'm going to start by suggesting Kim Kelly. Couldn't think of a better person. But if you have an idea of who a Night Czar might be, you know our number. It's 0289033105. And it is very important to talk Belfast up, but we can only talk it up so much. We have to deal with the reality. And one of the things we can all do, whether we are an occasional visitor to Belfast, a resident of Belfast, someone who's employed in Belfast like myself, or indeed a person who has some just general passing interest in the city, is we can have more respect for the darn place. So don't throw litter. Don't ignore the negatives. Don't be afraid to challenge authority, because I remember this city being, just to use a blunt term, a hellhole. We came out of that. Let's not descend again.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.